As Wayne has mentioned this morning, we will have the opportunity to employ a summer student. This is a great thing that the government is doing. They're paying for us to have a student to work for us over the summer. It'll be for 8 weeks, starting beginning of June. And it's not that much that we pay, but it is a little bit above the minimum wage. So it's not the lowest rate going either. If you know a student who would want to spend 8 weeks here, we are helping us at WBC, please contact me and we will get them in for an interview. As many of you know, and as has been in the news this past week or so, there has been terrific and horrific fires burning in the Fort McMurray area. Something maybe that Canada has never seen before. People have been evacuated, fleeing their homes. The numbers are staggering. According to the news reports, more than 80,000 people have had to flee. I would like us to take a minute of silence and just to remember these people as they are trying to flee to safety, to pray for them. After the minute of silence, I'm going to ask for someone, a volunteer from our body, to pray for them on behalf of WBC. Let us pray. Amen. Thank you, Randall. As I've been listening to the radio during this week, I've heard many stories from what happened at Fort McMurray. And one of the things that struck me, because Mother's Day was coming up, was the stories about mothers who were grabbing their children and racing down to the vehicle to try and get out in time. I'm sure fathers did this as well. But the message about mothers having such a love for their children that they would take that responsibility to make sure that their kids are safe, to get them out. That was a theme that I heard again and again. There are few things in this life that are as strong as a mother's love. And one of the wisest people, or maybe the wisest man who ever lived, King Solomon, used that when he had to make a decision of who a baby belonged to. You know the story. Two mothers came to him, each claiming that the baby who was alive was theirs. One baby was dead, one baby was alive. Solomon, in his wisdom, called one of his soldiers and said, "Well, take the baby that's alive, cut him in half. Each mom could have half a baby. They could share the one that's alive." And of course, he knew that the real mom, the true mother, would have such a love for that child that she would rather sacrifice. She would rather give that child up than have that child killed. Because he knew that he could take this chance, the soldier stepped up, took out the sword, grabbed the baby, and the real mom said, "No, please, please, let her have him." Such a love that is so strong, that is so unconditional, is hard to find. But in His grace, God has given that to mothers. In some way that us as fathers, even though we love our children unconditionally, but in some way it just doesn't seem to have the same strength or the same potency that a mother's love has. It is something special. The Apostle Paul, now, as he's writing this letter to the Colossians, doesn't specifically talk about a mother's love, but he talks about his own love for the Colossians, his sacrificial love for them. And he's making the case that because he loves them so much and so sacrificially, that they should listen to him. That they should take heed of his advice. Because he's writing this letter to warn them against false teachers. And Paul's argument so far has been in three parts. Firstly, he's come and he said to them, listen, I am an apostle. I've been appointed by God. So this gospel that you heard, this is a true gospel. I have the authority and I have the know-how to say that this gospel that was preached to you is the true gospel. Not only do I have the authority, but secondly, I have been the one that has been praying for you since day one. Even though I've never met you, I have been praying for you constantly. And now he's coming to the third point. He says, I'm the apostle, I'm the one with the authority, I'm the one that's been praying for you, but I am also the one that's been living a sacrificial life. That's the point that he's making now. Because of these things, because I'm the authority, because I've been praying for you, because I've been living sacrificially, you can trust what I'm saying. And you can know that I have your best interests at heart. This is the foundation that Paul is laying before he brings that warning. He's going to warn them against the false teachers. But he's laying a foundation because he's trying to say to them, look, these false teachers, number one, are not apostles. Number two, they have not been praying for you all this time. And number three, they have not been living sacrificially. So therefore, you can trust my warnings. You can trust the wisdom that I'm going to impart to you. Let us read the scripture for today. Paul says, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known. The mystery, hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. Let us pray. Lord God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for what Paul wrote to the Colossians. I pray, Lord, that would be applicable for us today. We are here on Mother's Day, Lord, and I pray that mothers will be blessed this morning. I pray that we would appreciate their sacrificial lives, even as Paul wanted the Colossians to appreciate his sacrificial life. We know that this ability to live a sacrificial life comes from you. That yours is the energy that works so powerfully and strongly in us. I pray that you would bless us this morning. I pray that you would use me, Lord. And I pray that through your Spirit, Lord, you would change us. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The Apostle Paul says, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of His body. What a strange thing to say. I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. What could be lacking in Christ's afflictions? Paul, have you lost your mind? Didn't you just say in the same letter, in the previous sentence, that Christ was supreme over all and that Christ was sufficient for all? If Christ was sufficient for all, then how can you say something was lacking? The sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross was complete. When He died on the cross, He said, "It is finished. It is done. Nothing more needs to be done." So, Paul, what are you saying? How can you add to what Christ suffered? Your sacrifice and your suffering is nothing compared to what Christ sacrificed and to what He suffered. I got some help on this from a pastor in the States, John Piper. And I think it makes a lot of sense, because he looked at that phrase, filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. And he said, where does that phrase occur elsewhere in the New Testament, especially in Paul's letters? And that phrase occurs in Philippians, where he says, "So receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me." To complete is the same Greek word as filling up. So when Paul says, I fill up in my body what is lacking in Christ's afflictions, he's using the same words as to complete what was lacking. There's an identical phrase being used there. So what happened in Philippians? Well, what happened there was Epaphras, and we've heard his name before, was sent from Philippi with a gift to Paul, for Paul's support. And as he came, and as he traveled to Rome, he almost died. Paul writes this in that passage. He says, "I've thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier." Sorry, that's not Epaphras, that's Epaphroditus. "And your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him. And not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me." Epaphroditus has risked his life to bring this gift all the way to Paul. This was a gift that the church in Philippi has brought together, have collected to support Paul. And the only thing that they lacked, the one thing that they could not do, was to present this gift to Paul. Through their own sacrifice, they put together this love offering for Paul. But they could not actually present it to Paul, because Paul was in Rome. So they sent Epaphroditus with this gift to go and present it to Paul. So the argument that Paul is making is that when Epaphroditus took this gift to Rome, He was going to fill up, he was going to complete what was lacking for the Philippians. Their intention was to take this gift and give it to Paul, but they couldn't do it. So they sent Epaphroditus. So he is filling up, or he is completing what they were lacking. Now the argument that Paul seems to be making is that Christ himself has given himself as a love gift, as a sacrificial gift for the church and for the Colossians specifically. But Christ is not in a position physically to come and present his gift to them. And so he's sending Paul. Paul takes this gift of Christ and he brings that to the Colossians. And as he does this, he is now filling up, completing that which was lacking in the sacrifice. The sacrifice was perfect by itself. But what Christ wanted to do is he wanted to take his sacrifice, his love offering of himself, and he wanted to present that to each person individually. This is my sacrifice for you. This is my life poured out for you. So now when Paul comes and takes that sacrifice of Christ and in himself comes and presents that to individuals around him, the argument is that he's now filling up, he's now completing what Christ would have loved to have done but is not able to do. In the same way, for us as ministers of the gospel, we bring the gospel of Christ to others around us. And we fill up sometimes in our own flesh by presenting that gospel. In a body, in flesh, we present that gospel to others. And many times, like with Epaphroditus, who was close to death, and like with Paul, who suffered many things, this will cost the messenger. Christ suffered. And the true messenger many times will also suffer as they bring that gospel to people. There's a story that's been told about this man who was ministering in an Indian village. He walked around and preached from village to village. Eventually his feet were worn out. But no one seemed to listen to him. After a long day of many miles and much discouragement, he came to a certain village. He tried to speak again about the gospel, but he was driven out of town and he was rejected. So he went to the edge of the village, dejected. He lay down under a tree and he slept from exhaustion. When he awoke, people were hovering over him and the whole town was gathered around to hear him speak. The head man of the village explained that they came to look him over while he was sleeping, and when they saw his blistered feet, they concluded that he must be a holy man, and that they had been evil to reject him. They were sorry and wanted to hear the message that he was willing to suffer so much to bring to them. What Paul was trying to do through his ministry is to present everyone mature in Christ. That's his goal. Not just to give them the gospel, but to also train them in the gospel and to also help them to mature as they grow, and then to present them mature in Christ. Now it seems to me that there's quite a few parallels between Paul's ministry and that of mothers. Mothers are those who live sacrificially. We all know that. We all have experienced that. The sacrificial love of a mother for her children. And mothers having in mind and their goal and their aim is for their children to become mature. To become mature adults as people, but also to be mature in Christ. Mothers have two things in mind as they train their children. To become good human beings, to become adults, to become mature, to grow up before they grow old, but also to be mature in Christ. Those are the two things that moms want more than anything else. And they are willing to sacrifice for that. And that to me seems exactly what Paul is saying to the Colossians. He's saying to them, you can listen to me because I'm sacrificing for you. This is because I love you, because I care for you, and because I want the best for you. And I think that's what moms do. Each and every day. And I've asked some moms just to share very shortly about what they've experienced from their moms as a sacrifice.
Okay, I'll just quickly share. I think my mom was someone who really lived a sacrificial life too. She never worked after she got pregnant with me. I was the oldest one. Never worked to get extra money for extra things. She believed she had to be there for us when we came home, and she was always there. I know once or twice when I came home after school and panicked because she wasn't at home and she was just at the neighbor or something, but I totally panicked because my mom wasn't home. My mom was someone who stayed up late at night when I had to study, especially grade 12 or so. I had to stay up really late. And my mom would sit because she knew I just couldn't stand being feeling like I'm the only one awake at night. So she would sit there, maybe head nodding, but she would stay awake, and if I go to bed, she'd go to bed. And my mom was one of those rare people who doesn't really like food. She just never loved food, but she would cook the most delicious meals 7 days a week for our family. It would be fantastic meals, and then she'll boil an egg for herself and eat that on a, you know, on a slice of toast, and she'd serve us rice, meat, potatoes, vegetables, everything, cooked every day. So my mom just gave and did everything she could for us because she loved us.
Thank you, Lisa. I've been on the left side of the church. I'm going to the right side, and I'm going to find someone over here who wants to give tribute to her mom.
Well, I've been asked to talk briefly about the sacrifices my mother made in raising me. Before I could walk, and after having lived with my mother only a total of 8 weeks, my father divorced her to marry the woman he had been living with. This was devastating to my mother. The church that supported her parents as missionaries in China rejected her because of her divorce. She took me, a babe in arms, to Grace Tabernacle, a church far away from where we lived. There, the grace of God was powerfully preached, and that message changed my mother's life. We were poor, but my mother never let me know that. We lived in other people's homes and shared our bath water. We didn't have a kitchen, and my mother cooked on a tabletop stove that looked like a child's play stove. She had a magic pot in which she could cook a lemon meringue pie or a pot roast with carrots and potatoes. Our staple food was Kraft dinner, which did not need to be cooked in a magic pot. I never once heard my mother complain. Never. She was always full of thankfulness and joy. My mother was a very attractive woman, and she had many opportunities to remarry. However, she waited until I had a career and went away to university before she remarried. And when I asked her about this later, she told me that she did not wish to have a divided heart, and she did not ever want me to feel abandoned. Her second marriage ended with the sudden death of her husband 2 years later. And when we moved to Vancouver, she was again on her own. We were good friends with George Roberts, an elder at WBC, and his family. When George's wife, Muriel, died, George asked Mother to marry him. However, knowing our very close relationship, he actually asked me for her hand in marriage. Of course, I said yes, because we greatly loved and admired him. My mother epitomized the word from Scripture that tells us that godliness with contentment is great gain. My mother was thankful in every circumstance. She was joyful in trouble. She relied on the Lord for her daily strength. She never involved me in her suffering. When my mother went to be with the Lord, the picture in the paper with her death announcement was taken on the day of her marriage to George. One of my best friends saw the picture but did not recognize her. However, she kept the paper because she wanted to go back to read the obituary for the woman who had such a beautiful face. My mother's face was beautiful because she gazed daily into the face of the Lord Jesus. And this she taught me. She told me that when I was older, I would realize the fierce love of a mother for her child, love that would cause a mother to die for her child if necessary. And my mother did that for me. She died daily to her own desires to love me more than herself.
Amen. Thank you, Shirley. Before I put the mic down, is there anyone else who might just want to say something about their mother? Just a sentence or two. Doesn't have to be long. I know no one else is prepared. But I just want to give the opportunity if there is anyone.
Thanks, Ryan. For my mom is, caring, my mom is loving, and my mom is nice. And to all my mom, and I'm sure she thought I made my bed, and she picked up my lunch for school in the morning. I would thank you for my mom because Mother's Day for my mom is peace, and my mom is loving, and I love my mom because she is nice, and that's for my mom. And I give her a farewell to her, and to love her, and to love my mom. Yeah.
Good job. Anyone else? I know that we had only three people share. I know that everyone sitting here can tell many stories about their moms. This picture really also encapsulates for me the sacrificial love of a mom for a child. It's a beautiful thing. I came across this poem I'm going to read by Helen Steiner Rice. She's one of my own mom's favorite poets. She writes beautiful cards. And she writes this. She says, "A mother's love is something that no one can explain. It is made of deep devotion and of sacrifice and pain. It is endless and unselfish and enduring, come what may. For nothing can destroy it or take that love away. It is patient and forgiving when all others are forsaking. And it never fails or falters, even though the heart is breaking. It believes beyond believing when the world around condemns. And it glows with all the beauty of the rarest, brightest gems. It is far beyond defining. It defies all explanation. And it still remains a secret like the mysteries of creation. A many splendid miracle man cannot understand, and another wondrous evidence of God's tender guiding hand. I want to ask now that all the moms here would please stand if you can, and I want to pray for you. Let us all pray together. Lord God, before you are the moms and the mothers from our congregation. And we now bring them before you that you would bless them. We pray, Lord, that your hand would be upon them. That you would fill them with your Spirit. That you would strengthen them. That you would encourage them. But Lord, most of all, that you would affirm them. Affirm them for the work that they've been doing all this time. The work of sacrificial love. Of passing on from you to their children the love that you give, that is unconditional. For the late nights, for the times when they are tired and worn and weary, and yet they get up and they do what is necessary. For the times, Lord, when they feel all alone and unappreciated, when it's only you that sees what is really happening. We pray, Lord, that they would lift up their faces because they are daughters of the King. And I pray that they would walk boldly, knowing that they've been called to a great ministry. And I pray that they would have confidence. And they can laugh at the day to come. I pray for us as husbands and brothers and children that we would appreciate them. That we would honor them. And that we would care for them as you have cared for us. Would you bless them? Would you bless this congregation, I pray, in Jesus' holy name. Amen.